Welcome to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
Awesome, a baby's here. You're going to see dogs, you're going to see stupid husband gags. I started shouting at my wife.
We don't control our own message anymore.
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
And as we record this, Super Bowl 50 just wrapped up. The Denver Broncos defeated the Carolina Panthers. Hugh, did you have a rooting interest in the game?
I didn't have any money on the game. I didn't have a team in on the game. I can legitimately say the Super Bowl party I went to, the entire draw was the food. So whoever won the game, I was a winner that night.
You were a winner in the food Super Bowl.
Ribs, homemade wings, homemade chili, and then, of course, all the normal snacks. It's a real, real event.
The game itself was kind of a snoozer, but we're here tonight to talk about the Hungry Dad's top 10 food Super Bowl commercials. We're here to discuss specifically, because we are the Hungry Dads podcast, food-related commercials. You know we have a background in marketing if you listen to some of our other episodes, so this is hopefully right up our alley. I'll just start by saying, kind of in general with Super Bowl advertising, I feel like it's one of these things where everybody keeps saying every year, the ads suck. They're not as good as they used to be. They're getting worse. But personally, I think it's just a product of, over time, things seem less interesting. So there's only so much you can do with a commercial, and I feel like people expect new and crazy things every year. If you would have put any of this year's commercials, I'd say, in kind of the early 90s or mid-90s, people would be impressed with them. But now I think people just have this expectation that something completely insane is going to happen.
Look, when we go through this list, I think we're going to be appropriately critical. I think we're going to give these a good critical eye. Overarching all of that, I do want to say, I think doing a Super Bowl commercial as a company, as an advertising agency, is harder than it looks. They don't want a great idea. They're not looking to break new ground with these commercials. They have to make a broad message. The goal is also not to really sell you the product. The goal is to sell you a brand, to sell you an idea. They're not to tell you about the product itself.
So without further ado, let's talk about the food-related commercials of Super Bowl 50.
The first one I want to talk about is the Jack in the Box commercial. So in this commercial, we open on an image of the Jack in the Box character, kind of doing the Washington crossing the Delaware.
In the Battle of the Burgers, one man made a declaration of delicious. Jack. He set forth, armed with artillery no one saw coming. Boxes and boxes of mouth-watering burgers. He was determined to bring great taste to this great nation in the name of life, liberty, and the pursuit of flavor for all, so that everyone could taste history-making burgers. And America ate it up. True story. With fresher and tastier ingredients, we're making every burger better, like the new Double Jack. History never tasted so good.
Jack in the Box gives you this, a lot of iconic American imagery. It's the Jack in the Box, the goofy looking character, a bunch of hamburgers in all this iconic imagery with this dramatic music. So there's a juxtaposition. You know, this is, I think, what I was talking about. I don't think this is a particularly impressive idea, but it's extremely well produced. Puts the story together for you. It's immediately recognizable. It's not really trying to impress you with their hamburgers. It's just trying to entertain you for a little bit and attach themselves to the name.
Yeah, I think this one is kind of middle of the road in my books. I think it's at least unique. I would never anticipate seeing Revolutionary War imagery juxtaposed with Jack in the Box and Jack crossing the Delaware. I'm generally not a fan of talking animals, which I'll touch on a bit as we go through these, but I did like kind of the surprise that the eagle was talking at the very end. You see that the eagle is actually narrating. I thought that was a nice effect.
Jack in the Box is delivering these burgers to the shore, and when he arrives on shore, there's a guy there. Now, one choice that had to have been a choice made is that the guy standing there to receive the burgers, he looks like he's in a running outfit. Did you notice this? He's a
I
fit
did notice
guy.
That.
That's no accident, I think.
No, there was obviously thought put behind it. There's no nanosecond in a commercial you're paying $5 million for that isn't well thought out. And I just think that the guy's exercising because this is fast food and it's got a bad rap, and they want to show that healthy people can eat fast food too. Hey, just exercise, you know, you can down 5,000 burgers if you just run a few miles. I think that's kind of what they're getting at.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that, of course, all these fast food, they use good-looking people in their commercials and not a bunch of fatsos. But in this particular case, he was literally wearing workout clothes. And yeah, I think it was just, it was both jarring and subtle, in my opinion, a subtle distraction. So, you know, effective enough. And it almost, you'd say, well, it's neither here nor there. But as you said, there's really no choice that's made on accident with these commercials.
So a frequent Super Bowl advertiser was back again this year, and that is Doritos. Just off the top of my head, it seems like they've been in every Super Bowl in recent times. And this year, they actually had two spots. First of all, let's talk about the ultrasound spot. And this was actually the Doritos Super Bowl commercial contest where amateur filmmakers and aspiring advertising people submit their own ideas and commercials, and this one made it and made it on air. This was one of my favorite. I thought it was concise, it was short, it was to the point.
And there's your beautiful baby.
So we open on a woman getting an ultrasound,
really?
And his
you're eating Doritos?
And her stupid husband
He's
is just
eating Doritos,
like an
ultrasound.
Idiot. He doesn't care about the ultrasound.
I know.
But then he notices the baby reaching for his Doritos as he looks at the ultrasound. And getting more animated the baby is. And then the husband throws the Dorito, and there you go. The baby, you don't see it, but the baby flies out of the womb, supposedly onto the floor to retrieve the Dorito. I thought this was a good, clever spot. It was quick. I didn't see the delivery part coming, really. I probably should have, looking back on it, but I just thought it was going to be like a cute, oh, the baby's reacting to the Dorito, which is kind of a silly and simple idea, but I like the idea that it was kind of simple and quick. And then when the baby was delivered via jumping for the Dorito, I thought that was kind of fun.
That final gag was both unexpected and appropriate. It wasn't like a twist ending that came out of nowhere. It actually made perfect logical narrative sense, if I may, but it also was surprising. This one relied on something we see a lot, which is the stupid dad trope. I mean, the dumb, lazy, Dorito-eating kind of dad, but he's still like a good-looking guy and kind of cool, but schlubby in that Hollywood way. So, I mean, that was...
I want to ask you this, Hugh. This is in my notes. Does that offend you in any way, shape, or form that guys can be portrayed as like these idiots just munching on Doritos, kind of like the typical hungry dad, but it's okay for them to be portrayed like that in the Super Bowl? You're not easily offended, and neither am I, but I don't know. It kind of bothers me a little bit.
I don't think it offends me so much as I tend to just see it as officially like a lazy trope. And so I don't know if I'm so much offended by it as I am unimpressed by it. And kind of roll my eyes as I.
You're not offended as a dad. You're offended as a critic.
You know, I'm offended as what I consider to be a creative person. I guess I'm not really offended so much as I think it's often a shortcut, poorly used shortcut. But in this one, I actually think it wasn't overplayed. Some of these commercials, I mean, the dad is so stupid. I mean, so stupid that it's insulting. I don't even mean it's, again, not insulting as a dad, just insulting as a human. This one was played pretty smart for being stupid.
Yeah, I guess the dad kind of does come out the hero in the end in a weird sort of way.
I mean,
assuming the baby's healthy.
And you know what?
Didn't hurt itself.
What might depend on one's perspective, because I tell you what character I did take from it is the wife being like, do you see what I have to put up with? That came off as kind of naggy and annoying to me. I didn't think, look, he's eating Doritos in the ultrasound, which is I suppose it is worthy of a scoff, but it seemed a little harsh to me in the context of the commercial. She seemed pretty angry with him.
He's just hungry. Come on.
And Doritos showed up again in the Super Bowl, this time with another fan-made or amateur-made commercial. And this one was Dorito Dogs. So it's basically three dogs looking at a grocery store. They want in, they want the Doritos, and there's no dogs allowed. They make some attempts to get in, and the manager is shooing them away.
Get.
Dogs see a guy going in a hat, and they clearly get an idea.
Did you find
and they do
okay,
kind
sir?
Of a cartoonish one dog on the other's shoulders in a trench coat with a hat, walking on hind legs
to
pretend to be a person to buy their Doritos. Very much, I think, like a Scooby-Doo cartoon kind of gag, something we've seen a lot of times. I think this is another one of those. You don't need to have a great idea. You just need to execute it well. This one I found pretty unimpressive. First of all, it's dogs. You know, dogs are an easy go-to in the Super Bowl. Totally serviceable commercial. The other thing I gotta say is, it kind of makes no sense. I mean, dogs like Doritos. Buying that as a premise right off the bat, which is a little hard.
I agree with a lot of what you said there. I feel like the other Doritos commercial was far better. The other thing that's kind of cliche with this one beyond the dogs, which you see every year in the Super Bowl, is I feel like there's always something where you're trying to get some great tasting food and there's obstacles in the way.
It's like every kid's cereal commercial. It's Lucky,
yeah,
Lucky Charms, or it's the Trix Rabbit. It's definitely been done. Under that premise of, you know, there's a storyline with which someone's trying to get something. And if they made it a person who is trying to break into a grocery store to steal Doritos, well, that protagonist wouldn't be very likable now, would they? So you make it a dog, and immediately their quest is now likable, as opposed to just some guy trying to steal Doritos.
And you make it three dogs, which I think makes it even more innocent. And I bet that conversation was had. I bet it started with one dog, and people are like, they're not going to like that dog. He's like trying to steal the Doritos. But oh, now he has two friends. Yeah, that's kind of
cute. A likable dog.
Next up, let's talk Butterfinger. And this is another entry into the bold, crazy, extreme category. Let's take a listen.
A bull rider is bold. Now, a bull rider on a plane is bolder than bold. And if he jumps from that plane, well, that's bolder than bold. And if he jumps while eating a Butterfinger bar and all its crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery glory, well, that's bolder than bolder than bold. And if he eats it,
honey,
even when his mother tells him not to,
he'll spoil your dinner.
That's bolder than bolder than bolder than bolder than bold. Bolder than bold, crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery, Butterfinger.
I have some pretty strong opinions on this one. I think the extreme thing and just being super extreme and showing crazier, crazier stuff has been done so much. The extreme thing's almost a parody now, and everything's extreme. We've talked about it. And I was ready to hate it. Then the mom came on and scolded him for eating the candy bar, ruining his dinner. And that got to me. I think that's pretty funny. They're almost making fun of the genre. It's everything so extreme, but then mom shows up, and this guy's not that extreme because mom's, like, scolding him. I like that quite a bit, actually.
So you think this one might have been self-aware? You think Butterfinger might have been? I mean, I know to some extent they are. I don't think it had enough of a wink and a nod to really say to a critic, ah, we're with you.
Yeah, I think in general. I mean, I think I'm reading a lot into it. I'm analyzing as kind of a advertising marketing person. But yeah, I think the masses aren't going to get that it's self-aware. And maybe it's not that it's self-aware. I just thought it was kind of funny that part of being extreme was also ignoring mom.
Yeah, it was amongst the more clever twists you can do on this. Rather than diving deeper into the boldness to be extreme, it dipped back into a humorous area.
Yeah,
I'll give it that.
I think that's it. I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is it juxtaposed the actual extreme crazy stuff with something that's not really extreme.
And speaking of things that are bigger than big, let's talk about the Taco Bell Quesalupa Super Bowl commercial.
Cheese in the shell.
This is going to be bigger than man buns.
This is going to be bigger than Tinder.
This is going to be bigger than drones.
What? It's going to be bigger than aliens.
Than aliens?
Oh, it's going to be bigger than James Harden's beer.
This is going to be bigger than those things.
It's going to be bigger than football.
Real football.
La Quesalupa.
It's going to be bigger than everything.
So coming right off of talking about the Butterfinger, which is, you know, piling bold on top of something bold, here they're piling, it's bigger than this, it's bigger than that, and it's all to the soundtrack of Welcome to the Jungle. I think this is pretty unabashedly trying to be extreme. Yes, it's humorous. I think they're owning the fact that it's kind of ridiculous, but at the same time, there's really no important, interesting twist here. I think they were really laying it on thick with the hyperbole that they were trying to seek, and they never did anything new with it. We should mention right here and now, the cheesy Quesalupa they're selling here is not the Beefy Crunch Burrito, for Richard's sake and for the Beefy Crunch Move It's sake, we were hoping it would be. I don't know if everyone was paying attention until the hype Taco Bell was laying out there. But they were definitely, they were doing pre-orders on this new item. They were doing a campaign that was masking this in secrecy. So I was curious to know what it would be. I was pretty sure they couldn't not disappoint with whatever it was. And I would say they did disappoint. The brand new product they were going to roll out in the Super Bowl. All right, it's a cheesy quesalupa.
Quesalupa I'm kind of excited to try, although it looks big, which Taco Bell, for whatever reason, I don't like big things there. It just kind of gets overwhelming and greasy. I like the smaller items. The commercial itself, I agree a lot with what you said. There was no real payoff for me. The thing that bothers me most about the commercial is Taco Bell's entire brand, and, you know, it's reflected in this commercial, is very out there and young and funny and whimsical. And then they do this football thing, bigger than football, and then this serious soccer player turns around dramatically and is like, a real football, which doesn't go with anything else, much less of this commercial, but anything ever. And I think it's a case of they're trying to reach an international audience. Soccer fans are young. They're international, which I think does very well with Taco Bell. But it just stood out to me as being like, that was kind of weird.
I actually do think that this quote real football is them thumbing their noses at American football, which is something that young audiences would think, oh yeah, like football's for my dad, but soccer's for me. And I mean, they're in the Super Bowl, so it's kind of a problem, but I think it feeds into exactly what you said, that young, rebellious, I'm not, you know, this ain't your father's quesalupa, and this ain't your father's football.
So let's take a break from soda and fast food and talk about soup. Campbell's did a spot this year, and let's take a listen. So this is a first-person point of view. You're behind a football helmet. You're in a football helmet and playing. It's raining, and you can tell you're getting older as the commercial goes on. You go through Pee Wee. Now the coach is yelling at you in high school. You're disappointed. Mom's always there to support you. Now you're running people over. You're going for the end zone.
You're in college now, maybe?
Yeah, I think now you're in the NFL. You went to college. You're playing for the Packers now, it looks like. And then the big words, this one's for mom. I found this interesting. It's one of the only food commercials that took the serious approach. I think it's well done. I think it was kind of a tearjerker. I didn't find it overly compelling, and I found the production value actually to be lacking a little bit, especially in the touchdown run. It looked kind of cheesy. The kid was kind of running people over and stretching the ball out in front of him. It just kind of looked like an odd angle from an artistic point of view. But overall, I thought it was well done. It kind of pulls at the heartstrings, which kind of Campbell's, that's kind of their brand identity. And it was a nice change of pace from a lot of the wackiness we saw.
Yeah, I give it points for just stepping away from humor as a tactic and doing something a little bit different. But still, I think fitting within, you know, they've been doing the mom thing for a while. And Campbell's Chunky Soup really did the mom thing to humorous effect for a long time. They, I think, bring on what I think were the players' real moms to say funny things like, well, Walter Payton, you got to eat your Campbell's soup or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if it was Walter Payton or whoever
that
it was.
That is funny.
They brought back the mom thing. The thing I would say, though, is I don't think I knew what this commercial was for until the very end. It took too long for me to get to them. And I think that the commercial isn't good enough really to keep me invested in it till the end to find out who it's for. Even the Campbell logo in the corner would have helped or something, because once I knew it was Campbell's, I actually liked it more. And maybe that was the point. It made the end pop because I immediately say, oh, Campbell's Chunky, football, moms, I get it. But up until then, I kind of thought it might be for the Boys and Girls Club. I thought it might be for and the NFL itself. You know, it could have been for anything. And the fact that it was Campbell's Soup in the end wasn't bad, but I don't think they got enough payoff as a, for the brand.
The kid should have chugged a can of Campbell's Soup while running into the end zone.
Let's take a look at Snickers. And Snickers candy bar, they basically have another entry in a well-worn campaign. Action. You see Marilyn Monroe,
sweetheart,
except it's not Marilyn
like
Monroe.
It's going to be amazing.
Willem Dafoe in the Marilyn Monroe classic scene.
This is a disaster. Who's the genius who puts a girl in heels on a subway grate?
Miss Monroe, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little cranky when you're hungry. Better?
Much better.
This scene will never make the cut. Morons.
Campaign that I think is a very good campaign. I just think it's a weak entry in the campaign, both on its merits and with respect to the fact that we've just seen this type of commercial done so many times that the novelty wears off. Perfectly fine commercial. If you're going to consider Super Bowl commercials to be of an elevated status, I think they lost their pop with these years ago. Perfectly fine, but I think Snickers, if they're going to wow me, they got to move on to something new.
Yeah, I think it's hard to run kind of an extension to an existing campaign in the Super Bowl because people are expecting more. And if this runs, you know, outside of the Super Bowl, it's another funny kind of entry into the campaign. But I agree, it kind of fell short. And I feel like the Marilyn Monroe thing has just been used so much everywhere. I think that's kind of what they're going for, that it's so ubiquitous that everybody recognizes it. But I think it's just been done so many times that it kind of adds to the seeming non-creativity of it. Next up, let's talk about everyone's favorite Halloween candy, Skittles.
All right, let's do this. I got minds to twist and values to warp.
So Steven Tyler is in an art studio of some sort, or some sort of dungeon castle.
That is E to the Z, ooh, tweedly disgusting!
And he's just been revealed a Skittles portrait of himself that is now singing. It's made out of Skittles.
I think a little higher.
He's imploring the... the picture to sing higher and it explodes, but the lips survive
the rainbow,
and keeps,
taste the rainbow.
Keeps singing and we're rocking the rainbow. I feel like this was the worst ad in the Super Bowl. It's just bad. It's weird, and I get that Skittles does weird ads, but why is the mouse still singing at the end when everything else exploded? I kind of thought that the Skittles were going to explode onto the floor and then Steven Tyler was going to, like, eat them or something, which would have been mildly interesting and funny, or he was going to say, that's delicious, I'm going to eat my own portrait, but the whole thing just struck me as being weird for the sake of just being weird. Steven Tyler's a weird-looking guy anyway, so...
Yeah, it seems like somehow they got Steven Tyler and then they overplayed their hand on a Steven Tyler-based Skittles commercial. They could have had Steven Tyler in there doing any number of things, but they had him talk to a portrait of himself doing his signature move. It just was a little heavy on the Steven Tyler. And all respect to Steven Tyler, I thought his performance was terrible. I mean, not that I expect Oscar caliber acting from him, but it just wasn't good. It was awkward and stilted, and so that didn't sell me either. It's funny, at the end of the commercial, there was a hashtag, Skittles art. That made me think, how cool would it be if they actually had commissioned real Skittles art and showed that in a commercial? I think that'd be kind of rad, unique, and offbeat. They had this concept of Skittles art and they completely blew it. Steven Tyler and a computer-generated Skittles art. What would be impressive is real Skittles art. And now the Super Bowl 50 commercial I was most excited to see. So excited that I started shouting at my wife, I called it! I called it! We called it! We said it! Episode 46 of the Hungry Dads podcast.
This is a step in the right direction. I actually hope they keep it up with some celebrities who I really like. Jim Gaffigan as the Colonel. Come on, that could work.
It's clear that KFC is listening to the Hungry Dads podcast and their marketing people, which doesn't surprise me.
Happy to help, KFC. That one's free of charge. I think it's two things. Number one, I think it's great because it's Jim Gaffigan. Well, you know what? Let's hear the commercial, folks. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited.
Introducing KFC's delicious new Nashville
That's
hot
Norm
chicken, only available
as the Colonel.
For a limited time by me.
Same
there's Jim.
Fake Colonel pretending to be me, but I'm me. So only I can introduce KFC's delicious new Nashville hot chicken.
With a spicy, smoky flavor, only available for a limited time by me, Colonel Sanders.
I know, dear.
It's finger licking good!
So there he is, Jim Gaffigan as the Colonel. And say what you will about Daryl Hammond or Norm MacDonald or Jim Gaffigan now, and I saw some commentary. They're terrible as the Colonel. They're nothing like the Colonel. They can't fill the original Colonel's shoes, and why are they selling chicken? And I say to those people, that's the whole point. They keep saying in all the campaigns, take it from me, the Colonel. I'm the Colonel. They're clearly drawing attention to the fact that they're all terrible Colonels. And any criticism of their terribleness, you're still entitled to it, but if you're not aware of how aware these commercials are, then I think you're really missing it.
That's the point. Yeah, I think in our original review of the commercial, it was right after Norm had been introduced, and I think we were both pretty negative. I remember I was kind of like, I don't really get it, I don't like it that much, but I've come full circle now that it's obviously kind of tongue-in-cheek. I think it's pretty funny, and I respect it even more, the fact that this is a campaign that's taken some time to kind of get to this point, and that's hard to pull off.
When we first reviewed this, I think one of the things we said was, if all they're doing is replacing Daryl Hammond with Norm Macdonald, then that's probably potentially kind of lame. But if they're playing a long game here where they're going to keep introducing new colonels every so often with a different personality, that could get interesting. And this is where that prediction and that hope is paid off. And you're right. They really took their time with it. It's not like it's a new guy every commercial. They're kind of almost convincing you they're committed to this new colonel until they're not.
Let's talk wiener dogs, specifically Heinz wiener dogs. So we open on a wiener dog, and now several wiener dogs running through a grassy meadow dressed as hot dogs, and they're bounding nicely. We got some nice background music, see a nice mountain scene, and now we see some people in ketchup and various condiment costumes, humans holding hands, and the wiener dogs jump into them and start licking their faces.
It's hard to resist great taste.
And meet the ketchups.
Meet the ketchups.
I'm generally not a big dog fan, but I think this was unique in that they used wiener dogs and dressed them up as hot dogs, and it's all the same breed. It's very simple. I like the background music. I think it kind of goes nicely with the cuteness and the dogs running through the field. Yeah, I like it. I think it's simple. It's cute, but not too cute.
I'm surprised I like this one as much as I do, since it just hits on so many cliches and tropes that I would often roll my eyes at. Dogs, right off the bat. A pop song that's recognizable and an immediate contrast to what you're seeing. You got these silly costumes with this, you know, legitimate love song, Can't Live If Living Is Without You. I mean, that's a legitimate song. It's not a funny song until you add it to this visual. So it's a big contrast to be silly. Nothing too complicated there, but it all works. It makes me want to wonder what Poundside Meet the Ketchups mean. I kind of get what it means. I particularly like the little kid dressed up as the ketchup packet.
Yeah.
I just think that's cute. I think it's unique and funny, and it added just one little bit to it that made me, I don't know if I LOL'd, but I certainly internally made a mild guffaw. Let's wrap this up with what I think is probably one of the, if not the most talked about of the Super Bowl commercials after the fact. It's Mountain Dew Kickstart and Puppy Monkey Baby. Rod, am I right in saying that this is one of the more talked about commercials the next day in the media and such?
A lot of buzz. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about Puppy Monkey Baby.
Let's check out the buzz on Puppy Monkey Baby.
Man, I might just
guys hanging out on the couch, and in walks
Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby.
Doing a dance.
Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby.
Handing him a do.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Lick him on the face.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Now they're all drinking their do.
Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby.
And then they start dancing with the Puppy Monkey Baby down the hallway. Three awesome things combined.
Kickstart. Do. Juice. Caffeine.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Poundside Puppy Monkey Baby. All right. So, here it is, Rod. I am shocked and surprised at how much I like this commercial.
Wow.
I am too. Liked it. I really did. I'm still working up my defense of it. Boy, did I like this commercial.
It just got caught in your head, probably.
Well, that's definitely true, which doesn't necessarily make it a good thing, but it got caught in my head and I didn't mind it. I suppose I'll try to explain why I liked it. Number one, we talk a lot about how commercials are kind of safe and well produced and just trying to do something simple. I liked this one not because I thought it was hilarious. I liked it in the same way I kind of like an art film. I thought it looked weird in a good way. It was still funny enough, but that Puppy Monkey Baby was unsettling. The way it looked and the way it moved. And I think it was a little bit brave to not do this too safe. And I liked it. I found it catchy and interesting and engaging. It spoke to me on a bunch of different levels. I think it speaks to different people. I think it can speak to a very base of like, oh, what a weird, funny thing. But the puppy monkey baby, I could be totally wrong, but he looked like practical effects. He didn't look like a computer-generated puppy monkey baby. I liked that, too. There was a simplicity to it, but a weirdness to it that, again, I don't think it was funny, but I thought it was brave. I thought it was oddly brave. Am I overthinking this one? Am I adding art where there is no art?
I'm not going to tell you not to like it. Here's what bothers me the most about it, and there are several things. I think it's a great concept, three great things combined. They're trying to tell you that there's Mountain Dew and juice and caffeine all on this kickstart. But then, in true Mountain Dew fashion, they just have to go be crazy and way over the top and disturbing imagery, quite frankly, which I don't think you want associated with your brand, unless you're trying to appeal to young males, probably, which I
like
get.
Like me.
Like,
as opposed
like,
to you.
Yes. As compared to me, you are a baby. And yeah, I mean, I guess the imagery is striking and production value is good, as you would expect. Three great things combined, you could go anywhere with that. That's a great starting point. But then I think they got lazy and like, okay, what's three great things? Oh, babies. People like babies, puppies, monkey. Do people like monkeys? Like, I don't know if that's great.
Super Bowl commercials love monkeys. At least, not so much this year, but in years past, monkeys, I think, have outnumbered dogs in certain commercials.
Now, do you think they're trying to parody Super Bowl commercials? Like, literally? Because if they're doing that, that's pretty funny. But I don't think they're trying to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a little deep into the meta.
Another thing that bothered me was the puppy monkey baby was wearing a diaper, and then, I don't know, when it got like all up on the couch with that guy and licked him in the face, it kind of looked like the puppy monkey baby was dancing or grinding on the guy a little bit, which I don't think they were.
Lap dancing?
I don't think they were. Yeah, it looked like a lap dance, which I don't think they were trying to do, but I don't know. It's obviously a puppy monkey baby, but it has the word baby in it, and there was a diaper, and it just looked like completely wrong.
I think there was intended to be a little bit wrong. One of the logical inconsistencies I could point out about this, if I were looking for one, is yes, three great things combined. A monkey and a puppy I can buy. And look, everyone loves babies, but who was sitting on that couch? Three guys, three apparent bachelors. I don't think baby is something great to them. I'm not saying they're anti-baby, but for three single guys on a couch, a baby isn't something that you go, awesome, a baby's here.
Hungry Dads. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
It's the label, like, perfectly facing.
That's the only thing you see.
And he's like, you know, you gotta chug chunky soup. So it's like,
and then gets tackled on the 1 yard line. See, I just wrote a Super Bowl spot, right?
It's chunky, so you can't really chug it smoothly. So it's kind of like it's getting on the camera, and it's kind of choking him a little bit.
There you go.